Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you today from beautiful Mumias, Kenya, out here in West Kenya. It's a beautiful sunny day. We had rain again yesterday, have had rain just about every day for the last 3 months, and it's getting a bit wearisome, but it is the Lord's will, and so at least everything is green and growing. There's lots of flooding in Kenya, lots of villages being washed away because many people are not prepared for this kind of rain, and it's raining very seriously in parts of the country where they don't get much rain. So there's a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of people without food, without homes and shelter. So I ask you to keep that lifted up in your prayers as you pray for Kenya and for this ministry. Well, we're going to talk about Jesus' birth today. Of course, Christmas coming up in just a few days, and so we celebrate those of us who love Jesus and know him and regard his birth. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate our own birth, which some people say, well, that's just a pagan thing. You shouldn't even mark your own birth. Well, I don't know about that. We celebrate Jesus' birth because every day is worth celebrating. Every day when you know the Lord Jesus is worth celebrating. And so people say, well, it's just a pagan holiday that you Christians celebrate. You're actually celebrating a pagan holiday. Well, I beg to differ, because every day to some pagan is a holiday. Every single day of the calendar year to some pagan someplace in the earth is a pagan holiday. It's a day for them to celebrate some pagan ceremony. And so we're not going to give those days over to the pagans. We're not going to celebrate them. And we're not going to acknowledge that at one point in time, December 25th is a pagan holiday somewhere. So what is what I say? Every day belongs to the Lord. Every day belongs to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, everything that you do is pagan. And so if you go to the football game, that's pagan if you don't know Jesus. But when you know him, every day is his, every day is given over to him, and every day is worth celebrating. And I don't see any problem with specifically designating one day to set aside. When you do that for your own children and you do that for your own self, every day can be set aside, and one day specifically to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, the shepherds did that, and the shepherds were the lowliest people in the culture, maybe not the lowliest, but pretty low. They were stinky, they were smelly, they spent all their time out in the fields. I see shepherds here in Africa, and they, all of them, have a blanket around them. I've been to the Maasai land down in southern Kenya, where most of the people are shepherds, and they stand out in the hot sun and the dust all day long, and then at night they're with the sheep, they're with the goats, they're with the cattle. And so there's nothing very glorious about their life. There's nothing very envying about their life that we should desire to do that. And yet that's their life. They bear it. They go through it with much difficulty. And they're pretty tough characters when they go to other places. I have Maasai working for me here, a couple of them. And when they go to other places, they immediately get a job as a watchman or as a guard, because that's what they do their whole life. They're raised up with the sheep and the cattle, and so they're very accomplished and very skilled at defending and taking care of their flock. Well, in Luke 2:13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angels," because the angels had appeared to these shepherds out in the flock. And so the shepherds were astonished and astounded by these angels that were there. There was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from the shepherds into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Now let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Well, beloved, if the angels had appeared to you last night and told you that the Christ child had been born, if the angels had appeared to you and said to you, go and tell the people, go and tell the people the message, the good news that we have for you, I'm sure some of you would have made haste and picked up and gone to see the Christ child. I don't know where exactly you would go. We don't have to do that right now, thank God. It's already been done and it's recorded in the Bible. But you do go tell the good news to people. You go to your family and talk about Jesus' birth. You go to the church and you talk about it with other believers and other Christians. You go to your workplace and maybe you hang up a cross or have a cross necklace, or maybe you put some kind of Christmas decoration up in your cubicle or at your office. And so it is the same thing for us. We go and share the good news that Jesus is born. We go and share the good news of the gospel. And just as the shepherds, verse 17, when they had seen him, they went and made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Well, thank God we already have the story of Jesus' birth recorded in the Bible. We don't have to go across the state or across the country to see the shepherds or to hear the good news. We already have it. And so it is God's will for you, and it is God's will for me that we share the good news, that we let people know, beloved, Jesus had to be born before he could die on the cross. Jesus had to be born before he could minister the gospel, the good news. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He was the Word made flesh who came to dwell among us. And so he had to be born before he could go to the cross and die. He had to be born before he could share the good news of the gospel. He was the ultimate preacher. He was the ultimate apostle. He was the ultimate prophet. He was the ultimate priest. He was our king and our high priest. And so Jesus was everything that God intended for him to be. He was obedient in every way. And even when he was just a few years old, he was in the temple preaching the good news of the gospel, telling the priests of that day, telling those who were in the temple of that day about the scriptures. And he was a man filled with authority, and he was a marvel to the people who were listening to him. Well, is it okay to celebrate birthdays? Well, Psalm 71 says in verse 6 through 8, by you, God, I have been upheld from birth. You, God, are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. And so God notes our birthday. We note our birthday. Job himself cursed his own birthday. And if somebody is cursing their birthday, it's obvious that they know when their birthday was. And so Job was doing the work of the devil when he was cursing his birthday. It was not God's will that he cursed the day of his birth. It is not God's will that you curse the day of your birth. It is God's will that you celebrate the day of your birth and give honor and glory to God for the day of your birth, for it is a day that the Lord has made. It was a day that the Lord has made, and he has uniquely made you in his image. And so it is okay to celebrate the day of your birth. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Well, how can you number your days? He's not just talking about the days ahead, that you don't know are coming or how many, but he's asking you also to number the days that you already have, the days that the Lord has given you. And when you look back at your life, you can see the days that you've wasted. When you look back at your life, you can see the days when you've been out there in the wilderness area and you praise God for them, but you can also use those days or gain wisdom from those days by making better use of the days that the Lord has given you today, making better use of the days that God gives you in the days ahead, giving thanks for the days that the Lord has given you each and every day, giving thanks. Get up each day and say, praise God for the day that you have given me today. I thank you. I'm going to use this day to bring glory and honor to you. I'm going to use this day to spread the good news of the gospel, just like the shepherds went into town. We have to go see this child that has been spoken of to us. We have to go spread the good news. And it says that the people marveled at the word that the shepherds had and marveled at the message that they had. And beloved, I hope that is your life today. If you're not making good use of the days the Lord has given you, if you're not numbering your days and saying, Lord, how can I make better use of the days that you have given me? How can I make better use of the life that you've given me to bring glory and honor to you? Again, if you're not walking with the Lord, every day that you have is given to the pagan deities. Every day, if you don't know Jesus Christ, every day is devoted to some pagan activity. Whether it's your children's birthday, your birthday, or anything else you do, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your sacrifices and your walk is a walk given over to pagans. And so when you know Jesus, you start to understand your life has been sanctified. It has been consecrated. You have been set aside then to let people know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, to share the good news of the gospel. That is your mission. That is your calling. That is your destiny. God doesn't just save us so that we can sit in church and have a comfortable seat there and soak up more and more good sermons and never do anything with it. God saves us. Go unto all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so we are commanded to go. That is your calling. That is your charge. That is your destiny. Use the days, mark the days, number your days, so that you can stand before the Lord on that day, judgment seat of Christ. You can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I did the best that I could with the days that you have given me, with the talents you have given me. I made use of those in the best possible way. And you will have no regrets then about the life that he has given you. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you have possessed my reins, or my inward parts. You have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. Well, marvelous are the works of the Lord. He has made you fearfully and wonderfully. Even before you were born, he knew you. He knit you in your mother's womb. He told Jeremiah, even before you were born, Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah, even before you were knit in your mother's womb, I spoke over you your destiny. I spoke over you what I wanted you to do. He told Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to be a prophet to the nation. I'm going to have you speak for me. And so it is the same for each and every one of us. Even before we are born, Jesus knows our calling. He knows our destiny. He speaks over us what it is he desires for you to do. Beloved, when I started to preach the gospel, I felt like I had come home. I felt like it was a homecoming for me, and I had done many things. I've done just about everything from digging ditches to farming. I have an engineering degree. I've done just about everything, good, bad, and ugly. But when I started to preach the gospel and devote my life to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus saves, when I came to that point in my life, I felt like I had had a homecoming, and I felt peace and fulfillment like I had never felt before in my life. Well, in Jewish tradition, did they mark the days? Did they mark the number of years of a child? Yes, I believe they did, although research shows they may not have had any grand birthday celebrations, but they marked the weaning of a child at age 3. In Genesis 21:8, Abraham has a feast to celebrate Isaac's weaning at age 3, and so that is the marking of a child's age right there. At age 3, they also cut the hair for the first time. That's called Upshiran. And age 5, they begin the study of the Torah. Age 13 is the age of Bar Mitzvah, coming of age. So that is a very important age in the Jewish tradition. And so it is very important that the date of the child is known. It is important that the date of the child is marked, the date of the birth of the child is marked, because at age 13, the Bar Mitzvah, the coming of age of the child, is a very important tradition in the Jewish culture. Age 15, they begin to study the Talmud. In Luke 2:42, it tells us about when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, Jesus and his family, according to the custom of the feast, and he was then in the temple teaching the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests. He was there teaching with one who has authority when he was 12 years old. So somebody knew his age, somebody knew that he was in the temple. And so his age, at age 12, he was already starting to walk into the calling and the destiny of his father, who had given him the authority to teach and to be a high priest. Psalm 90, verse 10, it talks about the days of our lives. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And verse 12 in Psalm 90, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That's the scripture I spoke before. The days of our life are 70 years, or if by strength 80. Beloved, if God gives you the strength to live 80 years, I hope that you can look back on your life and say, I lived my life well, not just to accumulate wealth, not just to have the luxuries that are common in the United States of America, not just to have the leisure that is common in the United States of America, but also to say, I lived my life well, I lived it for Jesus, I lived it committed to Him. My life was a testimony to the power of God in my life, to the power of Jesus Christ in my life. My life was a testimony to my children, to my grandchildren, to my great-grandchildren. And I pray that if that is you, that you are able to speak that, and you are able to say that as you look back in your life. If you are a young person today, I pray that you look forward to the days ahead, use wisdom, that you may gain a heart of wisdom, make good decisions, make good choices, serve the Lord, honor Him, acknowledge Him, worship Him, all those things that are spoken of and taught in God's Word. I pray that you do that on a regular basis in your life. And beloved, when you get to that age of 80, when you get to that age when you look back on your life and your days are starting to wane, your days are starting to pass, and you come to the end of your life, that you can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me 70 years. Thank you, Lord, for giving me 80 years. Or if by great, great strength, 90 years or 100 years, you look back on your life and say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate the life you've given me. I have a heart of gratitude for the days that you've given me, and your legacy will be your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and the people that you have shared the good news of the gospel with. I look forward to the time when I can be in heaven, when I can stand before the Lord and thank Him for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to preach the gospel and to say to those that I meet in heaven, wasn't that a great crusade over in Burundi, or wasn't that a great crusade over in Congo or in Uganda or Rwanda? And when you can do that and thank the Lord for that and meet those that you have brought to the Lord, that you have shared the good news with, beloved, that is going to be a great and a joy-filled day. Well, there's much in the Bible about divine revelation concerning Jesus' birth. Matthew 1:18, it says, after his mother Mary, that is after Jesus' mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20, but while Joseph thought about these things, he was pondering putting Mary away, that is to say, to divorce her or put her out of his life. While Joseph thought about these things to put Mary away, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus' father was the Holy Spirit. His mother was Mary. Mary is not the mediator between us and God. She is not sinless. She is not a deity that we worship. She was the mother of Jesus. She was a vessel, just like you and I. She was the mother of Jesus, who was a vessel, who was given to the task of birthing the Christ child and raising him up. But the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, hovered over Mary, and she conceived a son, and that which was conceived in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit and became Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And so we thank the Lord for his divine plan. We thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, the Father of Jesus Christ, and that is how Jesus was born sinless. That is how Jesus died sinless, because his Father, his DNA had his Father, Jehovah God, and the Holy Spirit in his DNA. And so he was able to be sinless. He was able to go to the cross and be our sacrifice, be our sin-free sacrifice of blood on the cross, our ransom for the sins of all mankind. Well, in verse 21, Matthew chapter 1, it says, and she will bring forth, Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. A prophecy spoken from Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And so Jesus' birth was prophesied many times in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14, it even said that he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Well, beloved, I praise God that God is still with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus is no longer with us. He has gone on to his heavenly home. He sits at the right hand of God, but the Holy Spirit is with us. We have God's Word. We have the Word that is among us. We have the Holy Spirit among us. We can know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that you get down on your knees and just ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him, repent of your sins. Say, Jesus, I have been a sinner. I am a sinner. And I ask you to come and save me from my sins, to wash my sins away. I receive your blood sacrifice. I receive your sacrifice upon my life. I receive your word and you into my heart. And if you do that and repent of your sins, follow it up with Christian baptism, let me know that you have made this decision. Send me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know so that I can celebrate with you and we can move forward together in acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Well, beloved, I thank you again for listening today. I pray for the Lord to give you a good Christmas holiday, a good celebration, and a new year that is prosperous and encouraging to you in your walk with the Lord. I invite you to partner with this ministry as we take the good news of the gospel to Africa and other places around the world. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.